3 through 2nd grade. You can go ahead and head to the back, and we're going to dismiss for Children's Church. So any children that are ages 3 through 2nd grade, go ahead and head to the back two doors and see where Nikki reminder is. Wave your hand. So Nikki's going to take you down through the... So this is going to be new for us. I know we haven't done it for quite a while, but during the sermon time, we're going to offer an alternative for the kids, something hopefully they can get some good spiritual message and some fun out of that. And then for anybody that has children ages birth through 2, we always have the nursery available as well. So we want to really try to cover all the ages the best we can for you all. Our scripture today comes from Mark chapter 4, starting in verse 21, if you'd like to find that and follow along. Mark 4, verse 21. We're going to be reading through verse 23. So 4, 21 through 23. This is what the words of Jesus. And he said to them, "Is a lamp brought in to be put under a basket or under a bed and not on a stand? For nothing is hidden except to be made manifest, nor is anything secret except to come to light. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear." The word of the Lord. So this morning we're going to be continuing our series, Exploring God's Heart, through Jesus' parables, by looking at the parable of the lamp on the stand. And I want to invite you to consider participating in the sermon with me. Several weeks ago, when we were at Camp Kirkmont, boxes of brownie mix were given out to any family that wanted one, and we were encouraged to bake them and share them with our neighbors, with the idea that it would give us kind of an icebreaker to go get to meet the people who live around us and to share the love of Christ with them in a very tangible way. Hopefully, some of you have had the chance to do that or have had some other kind of neighborly experience. Since the parable we are looking at today is the lamp on the stand, and since we're going to be exploring what it means to be the light of the gospel to the world around us, I thought it'd be great to hear some of these stories and how they impacted you, how they impacted your neighbors, or any other stories that you might have in this way. So during our sharing time, I'm going to try to leave a little extra time that you can participate in the sermon. Because I've got stories, but I would love to hear your stories and how God is using you to be the light of Christ to your neighbors. Our parable this morning is actually found in 3 out of the 4 Gospels. It's in Matthew, Mark, and in Luke. And so this tells me right off the bat that this particular teaching of Jesus was important to the Gospel writers. They found it meaningful enough that they would all have some version of it. It's also very short and simple, yet in terms of function for the church and mission of the church body, it's incredibly important. Before we dive into what might be going on in this story, I want to quickly read through all 3 versions and I want you to take note of anything that stands out to you, any differences, similarities, things that Jesus seems to emphasize in that version, and then we're going to move forward. So Mark's version, these are going to be abbreviated versions of the story. Mark's version in 4:21, he said to them, "Do you bring in a lamp and put it under a bowl or bed? Instead, don't you put it on its stand?" Then Matthew says in 5:14 through 16, "You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden, neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." And then Luke says in Luke 8:16, "No one lights a lamp and hides it in a clay jar or puts it under a bed. Instead, they put it on a stand, so that those who come in can see the light." One way that parables are often talked about or explained or as earthly stories with heavenly meanings. So let's take a few moments to look at each of these earthly elements that Jesus uses in the parable and to discover what the deeper spiritual meaning he is making and what then his words then mean to us today. So first, let's talk about the lamp. What is the identity of this metaphorical lamp? And more importantly, what does the light that it emits represent? Scripture gives us three possibilities. First, the gospel message. In Mark 4, in Luke 8 and 11, Jesus draws his listeners to the purpose of a lamp, and he says that it emits light in order to illuminate darkness. Simple enough. If we turned all the lights off in here, it would be mostly dark, except for some of the light from outside. We have light to dispel darkness. Now, in those passages, he doesn't use any person-specific language in the same way that he does in some of the other ones we're going to look at. But if we think about this imagery of light versus darkness, and if he is talking about good news, that light is good news in darkness, then we can imagine that he means the gospel, the good news message of Jesus Christ. Secondly, the light or the lamp could mean the church. This is another possibility that we find in Matthew 5:14. Jesus says to his listeners, "You are the light of the world." Jesus is telling this parable in Matthew as part of his broader Sermon on the Mount. And so it's fairly likely that the people listening to him at the time were Jewish. And so maybe he was reminding them of the words of the prophet Isaiah in Isaiah 42:6, that God had called the Jewish people, the people of God, to be a light to the Gentiles. This is what Isaiah says. "I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness. I will take hold of your hand. I will keep you and make you to be a covenant for the people and a light for the Gentiles." So Jesus was telling them, you are the light of the world. You are meant to shine the good news, light, to all the nations. Then the final possibility is that the light is Jesus himself. He says in John 8:12, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." So what does this lamp represent? Is it the gospel message? Is it us? Is it Jesus? I'm going to suggest that it is D, answer D, all of the above. Jesus is indeed the light of the world. He was the one that came into the world to break up the darkness. He brings hope into despair. He changes death into life. And he brings light to darkness. The gospel message then is the good news about this light. So the lamp then is the church. We bear this gospel message and we share it out into the world around us, the good news of Jesus, who is the light. What then is this gospel message that we are bearing? If indeed we are lamps, it's important to understand what the light is that we're supposed to be shining. Oftentimes today, when we talk about the gospel message, it is mostly focused on salvation from our sins by means of Jesus' death and resurrection. We sing about it, we speak about it. It's what we think about when we talk about sharing the gospel. In fact, one of the most well-known, well-loved verses in the Bible is John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." Good news that life has conquered death. And this is absolutely part of the gospel message, but I want to say that it is only one part of it. Think for a moment, if you were Jesus' audience at the time, listening to his words, what good news would he have been speaking to you? Because he hadn't died yet, so he couldn't have been talking about that. There was some good news important that they were hearing. So what would that gospel light have been to them? Luke 4:17 through 21, I think, holds a little bit of a clue into what this gospel news was. When Jesus gives us the purpose of his ministry and the scope of the gospel message, and he uses the words of the prophet Isaiah in the synagogue where he's teaching. And this is what he says, or what that passage says, "And the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, 'The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor.' And he rolled up the scroll and he gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, 'Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing.'" Now, in this passage, Jesus was doing something very controversial. And there was nothing controversial about the act itself. In the synagogue teaching, people would come in, they would read scripture, and sometimes they would talk about it, and then they would sit down. But Jesus was taking one of the most famous and important passages from the prophet Isaiah. What people had been looking for so long was this Messiah that was going to come and was going to do all these great things for them. They had been waiting for hundreds of years since Israel had been taken captivity by Babylon. And Jesus reads it and he says, "I'm fulfilling this now. This is going to happen through me." The crowds, of course, had mixed responses. Some received the message, some rejected the message. But it is a good news message. So what is the good news that we find in here? Well, Jesus says five things. He makes five specific promises using the words of the prophet Isaiah. First, he's going to proclaim good news to the poor. Second, he's going to proclaim liberty to the captives. Third, he's going to bring recovery of sight to the blind. Fourth, he's going to bring liberty to the oppressed. And then fifth, he's going to usher in the year of the Lord's favor. So we've got good news, this liberty, recovery of sight, year of the Lord's favor. That last one would have been especially significant. The year of the Lord's favor would have been referring to this, what was supposed to happen as outlined in Leviticus, this year of Jubilee, where every 50 years, for all the people of Israel, all debts would be canceled, all lands would go back to their original owner, all slaves would be freed, and God's mercy would just flow in abundance. There would be no work done, no fields would be tilled or planted. People would just be able to live. It was this great year of leveling, where if you had done really well in the last 50 years by, you know, having your boot on someone else's neck, you're going to get brought down. And if for some reason you were really in debt over the last 50 years, you were going to get brought up. It's a really great idea that we don't have any evidence that they ever actually did in the Bible. And Jesus said, this is now going to come. We're going to rest from our labor. We're going to rest from the burdens of indebtedness and hardship and struggle. So Jesus' gospel news isn't only, but it is, that the afterlife will be good for those who believe in him, but it's also that life here and now, life for the poor and the oppressed, for those that are in captivity, that are physically, emotionally, mentally, or spiritually suffering, will find grace, mercy, and life in Jesus. And if we believe that these promises are true and that they have come true in Jesus, then that is unbelievably good news. Because who here couldn't use a little bit of mercy? And who here couldn't use a little bit of grace? Who couldn't use a little bit of light? And if we believe and have received this good news, what are we supposed to do with it? Well, share it, of course. Who doesn't want to share good news? Last Monday, Aaron and I were hanging out at the house, resting after kind of a long Labor Day weekend, and we get a call from our good friends, Matt and Kate. And Kate wanted to tell us exciting news that she was going to retire from teaching and that she was going to take up farming, which was a very weird thing to hear from her because she grew up in the city. And then she told us that she was just kidding, but she did win the tractor raffle for the Labor Day Festival. Now, again, they live in Sydney. They have no use for a tractor, but a family friend offered to buy it off them for $2,000. So Kate won $2,000. That's great news. If I won $2,000, I'd want to tell my friends as well. What do we do with this good news that we have? Jesus tells us in Luke 8:16 and 11:33 that the purpose of the lamp is so that people who come in can see it shining. So if the lamp is the church bearing the gospel light of God, the good news of Jesus Christ who offers us mercy and grace both in this life and the next, how is it that we can reveal this light? Two ways. We reveal the light in the way we choose to act and in the way we choose to speak, in our deeds and in our words. Jesus tells us in Matthew 5:16, "In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." He also says in Matthew 10:27, "What I tell you in the dark, speak in the daylight. What is whispered in your ear, proclaim from the roofs." So, two places in Matthew, Jesus tells us we need to share the gospel through good deeds and good words. It's not enough just to live a Christian life and serve others if we aren't explicitly sharing the words of hope and mercy that Jesus offered. There's a whole lot of good people in the world who do a lot of good things that are not Jesus followers. In the same way, if we're only verbally sharing Jesus but ignore the physical needs of people around us, we are like those that James talks about in James 2:16, where he says, "If one of you says to them, 'Go in peace, keep warm and well fed,' but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it?" So you can't have one without the other. Jesus not only tells us that we are lamps meant to illuminate the gospel of mercy to the world around us through our words and deeds, and he reminds us that the purpose of lamps are to provide light, but he also drives the point home that there is no reason to conceal this light that we have. There is no reason to hide this gospel truth because everything will eventually be revealed. Jesus makes three arguments that to persuade any of us who are lamps, who have the gospel light, as to why we should be working to uncover that light to show others. First, he says we should uncover the light because the hidden gospel light is meant to be revealed. Mark 4:22, "For whatever is hidden is meant to be disclosed, and whatever is concealed is meant to be brought out in the open." Secondly, Jesus makes the argument that we should uncover our lights, that is, who we are inside, because it's not only meant to be revealed, but it will be revealed. Both the good and the bad, both the things we want to show people and the things we don't want to show people. Both the ugliness and the beauty. So, if that's the case, why would we firstly not want to work towards greater Christ-likeness so that more beauty can shine out? And then why would we not want to allow others to see what we have inside of us that gives light and life? Luke 8:17 says, "For there is nothing that will not be disclosed, and nothing concealed that will not be known or brought out in the open." His third argument is we should uncover our lights because there is nothing to be afraid of. Perhaps, or this would be the argument that would work best for me. There's nothing to be afraid of. I would guess that one of the biggest reasons we don't all just go shouting Jesus' name from the street corners is fear. Fear that we're going to be rejected. Fear that we're going to fail. Fear that we're not going to fit in and look like a bunch of weirdos. We're afraid. And Jesus tells us that we don't have to be afraid. Matthew 10:26 through 31 says, "So do not be afraid of them, for there is nothing concealed that will not be disclosed or hidden that will not be made known." Do not be afraid. So we are all lamps meant to illuminate the gospel of mercy to the world around us through our words and deeds. And there is no reason to hide this message because all things hidden will eventually be made known. The question then becomes, why preach a message on this? Why spend so much time talking about something that is so obvious that it shouldn't even need to be said? And why include it in 3 out of the 4 Gospels? I think this is a fair question, so I'll answer it with another question. How many here can say with full confidence that our lives let the good news of Jesus Christ shine out unhindered, unfiltered, unblocked, and uncovered 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year? I would venture to say that even the most spiritual among us have moments where he or she does not act like a lamp uncovered. So Jesus shares this parable to remind us that in spite of any excuses we might have, God has called us to a purpose, and we need to let that purpose shine brightly. Now, Jesus paints a pretty stark portrait here between light and no light. One is good, one is bad, one is useful, one is useless. But the reality of anybody's journey in Christian discipleship is we're neither a 0 or a 10. We're neither fully good or fully bad, useful or useless. So I want to take a few moments to look at a couple different ways that we might show or not show our light and consider what that might mean in our Christian journey and how that might change the gospel light as God has intended. Sam, do you mind flipping off the lights, please? So we have here, the most basic part of the parable is we have a lamp that shines. Now, I'm going to be honest, I put batteries in this morning and I thought it was going to work, and the lamp is apparently broken, but it will work as a demonstration here in a second. But Jesus' basic parable, if you have a lamp, the object of it is to be shown. Don't cover your light up. That makes perfect sense to me. But what are some other possibilities that we could do besides just putting a bucket over it? Well, maybe we have a bucket, but it's got some holes. So some light shows out, but not very much. Some light comes through, but the lamp doesn't have its full strength and power. Or we could maybe say we have more holes. Have a little bit more light coming out, still not full strength and full power. There are other types of light besides lamps. We've got, this one's my favorite, you got headlamps. The light's on this is a little dim, but you can, these are great because you can keep doing your work and focus on one direction. But the problem with something like this, or maybe even a flashlight, is it's only pointing in one direction. It's only useful for the people that happen to be over there, not the people behind you. And really, it's controlled by you. I'm going to shine the light where I want the light to go. I'm not going to shine the light where I don't want the light to go. Maybe your light is something like flashing bike safety light, which is great at night because you want people to be able to see you. It's kind of jarring because it's red, and it's kind of in your face because it's intermittent. It's not an especially warm light. So maybe for some people, this gospel light comes in quick bursts. And maybe it's really in your face, and it has something to do with, do you know Jesus and where you're going to go if you die today, sort of thing. But then the rest of your life doesn't look much like the gospel light at all. We could probably all speak to times where we've had stretches where we're definitely on fire for Jesus and then definitely not on fire for Jesus. Or maybe this represents a kind of person that in the public maybe is very much like this, but out by themselves, not so much. I'll just talk about this one. I had to buy special batteries for this, so I'm kind of frustrated. But it takes these 6-volt lantern batteries. See, it's not, there actually is one of these lit up. These are very new batteries. But clearly something is wrong with the lamp itself. The power source is fine. The batteries are fine. But the light is not coming through brightly. So maybe there's something about us that needs fixed in order to show the light more brightly. I think about the song Kim led us in, Just As I Am, that we come broken to be mended and wounded to be healed. Maybe we are wounded and we need some healing in order to show the light as it's supposed to go. We also could have, this is a stage light. So these are really bright and they have filters. So if it's working as it's supposed to, it can be very bright, but you can also add filters to it. So maybe red, blue. So maybe we have the gospel light, maybe we're shining brightly, but maybe we have a certain filter that we put over it, whatever it is that we happen to want to say about the gospel. Maybe we're only sharing the physical gospel of healing and mercy in that way, but we're not sharing the gospel of salvation from our sins. Or maybe we're only sharing the gospel of salvation from our sins, but we're not sharing the gospel of physical healing and mercy. We have been given a great light, and we are called not to hold that light to ourselves or to shine that light only to certain areas, but to let that light illuminate the darkness all around us through our words and deeds, so that those still trapped in the darkness can see and follow the light. 1 Peter 2:9 through 10 says, "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light." Let me say that again. You are God's special possession, so that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. God called us out of darkness into his wonderful light so that we may call others out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are a people of God. Once you have not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. God has not given a mission to the church. God created the church for his mission. It's not about us. It's about that gospel light. The gospel light is the mission, and we are the bearers of that mission. We have a responsibility to let that mission shine brightly in the community, in the world around us. So what kind of lamp will you be? Let's pray. Almighty God, I thank you for each and every person here today. God, I thank you that wherever they're at in their journey, they have heard some notion of your wonderful light and your saving grace. God, I pray that for those of us here who are in the midst of woundings and healings that we might need in order to shine the light brighter, God, I pray that you heal us. God, for those of us who might only be showing our light through specific holes or into certain areas, God, teach us to shine brighter. Lord, thank you for making us your people and giving us this glorious mission. God, as we go from this place, I pray that you just challenge us to be lamps uncovered. We thank you most of all for your Son, Jesus Christ, who says he gives us mercy both today, tomorrow, and forever. It's in his name we pray. Amen. Invite the worship team forward to lead us in a response song.